This episode of Attention Talk Radio is brought to you by children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Our topic tonight, ADHD, falling out of trust.
We're going to get to the content in a moment. Before we do, we'd like to thank children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder for bringing this program to you. In celebration of that event, we're anxious to give away free digital copies of Attention Magazine. To get yours, just listen to our show. We'll be sharing a secret word a couple times. Write it down. Listen to another show. And write down the secret word of that show, and then just email me the two words. That's all you need to do. Email address is attention@attentiontalkradio.com. When we get it, we'll forward it to Chad. We'll get you a PDF copy of the current edition of Attention Magazine, and they'll send you a PDF copy of the next edition when it's in print. We have a little tip that we're going to share with you that Chad made, and we'll get into the show.
When you have ADHD, putting in an 8-hour workday while maintaining maximum concentration can be a challenge. Here are some strategies to help. Make your physical environment less distracting. Use your laptop, smartphone, or alarm to track appointments and deadlines. Break up long tasks into shorter ones. Take breaks and walk around. Before you leave work, take 5 minutes to organize your work area for the next day. To learn more about workplace issues, visit chad.org.
Thank you so much, Chad, for your continued support. For those that are not aware, Chad is the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. We encourage all of our listeners to either donate or become members to support Chad. Financial stability is really important for them to have the resources to have people lobbying on Capitol Hill for the ADHD community and working with different regulatory agencies on wording to make sure that those with ADHD get the accommodations that they need in order to thrive. Again, for more information, to donate or to become a member, go to chadd.org.
So, Jan, can you introduce our guest?
Yes, Jeff. We're very happy to have Elaine Taylor-Kloss with us today. For over a decade, Elaine struggled as a mom in an ADHD plus-plus family of five. After discovering that a coach approach dramatically helped her and her entire family, she co-founded ImpactADHD.com, the first virtual parent coaching support organization for parents of complex kids. In 2020, Impact ADHD expanded to become Impact Parents. A master certified coach, Elaine has served as a parent advisor for the American Academy of Pediatrics and is on the National Board of CHAD. In addition to serving as CEO of Impact Parents and providing private coaching for adults worldwide, Elaine co-hosts the Parenting with Impact podcast. She is a frequent contributor to Attitude and Attention magazines, is co-author of Parenting ADHD Now, Easy Intervention Strategies to Empower Kids with ADHD, and she is author of the 2020 number one new release, The Essential Guide to Raising Complex Kids with ADHD, Anxiety, and More. So, Jeff, we're so glad to have Elaine with us today.
Elaine, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jeff. It's great to be here.
Love having you on, particularly on topics like this today, falling out of trust, because I always learn something. Because this is a new one. I haven't really, like, when you say falling out of trust, what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, it's like, okay, so you and I both, I love that I'm always learning from my clients, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
From the conversations that we're having. And so this actually awareness happened in a group. I was running a group with a bunch of parents of teenagers or young adults, one of the two. And we were talking, and what we realized is that, you know, very typical for parents of teenagers or young adults to or even young kids to say, well, I can't trust him. He's not going to do what I ask him to do. I can't trust him to do it. And that's pretty typical for parents. But as they get older, you ideally want to be able to trust your kids to do what they say they're going to do. That becomes hard when you've got a kid with ADHD and unmanaged executive function issues. And so there's this whole thing about being able to trust our kids to do what they're asked and all of this. But then what we realized is that that's only half the story, because while we've been falling out of trust with our kids, they don't follow through, we feel like we have to nag them, we're reminding them, they don't know all of that.
they've been falling out of trust with us because we're nagging them. We never trust them. We're always asking them to do the same thing again. We're not asking them what's important to them. So by the time they become teenagers, especially, what I've begun to see happening is this pattern where everybody's mistrusting each other. The parents don't trust the kids. The kids don't trust the parents anymore. And part of that is developmentally normal, right? Teenagers are starting to turn to their peers instead of their parents. But part of it is, I don't trust that whatever I do is going to be good enough. I don't trust that they're going to believe me when I tell them something. I don't trust that, you know, fill in the blank. The kids have got some legit gripes, and so do the parents. The result, though, is when the parents don't trust the kids and the kids don't trust the parents, now you're in a hot mess. Because, and here's why it's important. Trust is foundational to learning. And if we don't have the relationships that build the trust, then our kids aren't going to be receptive to learning what they need to learn to be able to manage themselves. And so it becomes actually one of the most essential pieces in helping kids learn to manage themselves and to manage their ADD or whatever executive function they're dealing with, is to pay attention to the role that trust is playing in the relationship dynamic. That makes sense.
Absolutely. Hang on, I'm making a roll of trust. So forgive me. I'm trying to recall. My mother was a second grade teacher, and she's a little bit of a wackadoodle. But every once in a while, she comes up with these things, and there are a few things she taught me. Is like, never lecture your kid because it demonstrates your willingness to negotiate. That's number one. Number two, something's difficult. Admit that it's hard, because if you don't, you're not giving the respect it's due. And the second thing was, loosely related, but never catch your kid in a lie. Never try to call them out. Never try to catch them in stuff, because when you do that, you're putting this wall up of distrust. And,
yes.
And it relates to this because, you know, I remember it being described to me, I could take a ball peen hanger and go up to a window and just tap it and it would shatter. Right? It would take me an instant to shatter and a lifetime to put the thing back together, which is what trust is all about. When you lose that trust, right, it creates a real problem. And I love having these conversations with you, because it's not something I think that we think about as parents, because you don't trust. But if you lose that trust, there's a cascading effect, which I get
it. Exactly. Like, I used to joke with my son. My son's like 23 now, but he was a classic difficult ADD teenager, and we have a very good relationship, but it was not without its strains during teenage years. And I used to joke with him, and the joking is important because that's part of building trust. My joke was, it's not that I don't trust you, it's what I trust you to do. Because, like, I knew and he knew that there were things he was going to do or follow through or get done, and things that he wasn't likely to, you know. And so And there's so many pieces here. Part of what happens is parents think it's about trust, because they don't understand that a kid's behavior, what's underlying it, isn't about trust or trustworthiness. It's about executive function. And so we begin to interpret their behaviors as if they're not reliable or not trustworthy or not honest. And as parents, we tend to get really upset about, if they're not being honest, do I have a morally depraved kid, right? So then we get really worked up about that. And so we equate honesty with follow through. And that becomes if they don't follow through, then I can't trust them. When in fact, the follow through has to do with how well they understand and are managing their executive function.
So let me just kind of process it. So There's trustworthy and not reliable?
Yeah, they're not the same thing, right?
Okay.
I could trust that my kid was going to forget.
Yep.
You know, like, I could trust that he would remember, I could convince myself that, or because I wanted him to remember, but that didn't mean he was going to. But you know, he was actually reliably unreliable in certain areas.
Uh-huh.
And so it wasn't about that I couldn't trust him. It's that he didn't yet have the skills that he needed to do whatever it was that was being asked of him. which is very different from I can't trust him. And
yeah,
so
I'm having
just real quick going back to what your mom is saying about you don't want to catch a kid in a lie, right? Because because trying to catch them to prove them to them that they're wrong or that you understand and they don't or whatever, all that's going to do is erode authentic trust, right?
Yep.
The part of a relationship where two people know they can count on each other. That's trust.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to erode that. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm having a little bit of flashback right now. And you've met my older son when he was a teen. I used to joke with him and say, you know, I trust you. Like, you just go along for the ride. You're oblivious. And one day I'm going to get a phone call from you're going to be in jail and even know why you're
Yes.
And all of a sudden it's there. I trust you, but you're like, sometimes you're oblivious. And so, like I said, I trust you, but I'm just worried that sometimes you won't pick up on the clues to know that it was there.
And so that's not about honesty. And it's not actually even really about trust.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because trust is, can I count on you? And so I guess there is this kind of tie into reliability. We equate the two, but then if somebody's unreliable, we begin, you know, when they're not trustworthy, well, then we have a moral implication for what not trustworthy means.
Absolutely.
And so we go down this rabbit hole that's really not healthy for for a relationship at all.
Absolutely. I tell you what, I want to process this a little bit. Let's go to a break. And kind of come back and we delve into this. Everyone, Elaine, I love her. She does great with parents of complex kids. And this is a great example because these are the invisible things that the average person's not going to know on the street. That's really kind of fundamental. To learn more, go to impactparents.com/attention. Our secret word tonight is trust. Again, our secret word tonight is trust. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Are you a parent of a child, teen, or young adult with ADHD? If you're like us, you're always looking for something you can do that will really help your kids. Impact Parents gives you the tools with guidance so you can empower your kids so they can learn to manage their own lives. For confidence in parenting and peace in your home, download a free guide with 12 key coaching tools. Go to impactparents.com/parentADHD for the guidance you've been seeking. That's impactparents.com/parentADHD. Start making things better for your family today.
Transform lives as a professionally trained ADHD coach at the ADD Coach Academy. ADHD coaching is in demand, a calling, and a career. Learn how you can change lives by going to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by GigCoaching.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Elaine Taylor-Kloss, one of our favorite guests, having this conversation about falling out of trust and really talking about trust being like a centerpiece of relationships, of foundational learning, and it's important. I'm not really – you go out and you take a look at the internet and stuff. A lot of people are talking about sometimes what's really, really important, and we're on that topic right now. Because I was thinking during the break, you know, sometimes people with ADHD, particularly kids lying. And sometimes like I find that the kids just didn't think through the situation. They committed to one thing and committed to something. Now there's a conflict and they've got to choose one and they didn't realize it. And emotionally they're trying to kind of get out of it. So I'm just throwing that out.
It's a great example because there are a lot of things that could be going on and how you respond is going to depend on what's really going on. So maybe a kid's lying not because that they're trying to cover it up, but because they know they're going to do it. I'm going to get that turned in. I meant to, I forgot to, I'm going to do it. And so sometimes they say, I turned it in because they have every intention of doing it. Sometimes they're covering it up because they're just tired of being wrong all the time. And they're just, it's almost like self-protection. to prevent from being caught again and again and again as wrong. So that's another way that they could be lying. But not really, not lying for the sake of lying, but lying to almost take care of their own ego and their own self-esteem. So as you can see, the reason behind it is going to influence how you respond to it effectively.
Yeah. So it's not that they're devious. It's just they find themselves Mm-mm. for whatever reason. And so, you know, I'm listening to you, and it's making all the sense in the world logically. But I'm imagining I'm a parent, and you know, I've got a complex kid. And now we've talked about this before. ADHD is largely an issue of self-regulation, right? To be able to pause and override your urge. And I'm noticing, I'm like imagining I'm having a hard time overriding my urge to reflexively say I don't trust my kid and stuff like that. As a parent, if you shift this mindset, it still seems to me difficult to hold this in mind and try to work your way through this. I mean, you deal with this all the time. Is that accurate or –
Yeah, it is difficult because we do conflate reliability with somebody's mm-hmm. with a morality. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just on the phone today with a group of parents of young adults, one of the groups that we run, mm-hmm. and this group has been together for a while, and so it was really interesting because the parents came in, and these kids range from 19 to 39,
wow.
and. Right, big stretch, but all dealing with the same issues, which is, you know, yep. trying to help these kids get back on track. And the kids want to now, and all of the parents were talking about, you know, things are better, the relationship's better, the communication is better. Now they've got enough trust to be able to have some of the conversations about accountability and follow through and helping these kids move on their agenda and letting go and some of these really important things that are foundational to help these kids be successful. But it took them a long time to be able to get here because they had fallen out of trust with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time they would try to have a conversation, the kids would put up a wall because they knew it wasn't about helping them. It was the parents managing their own anxiety. You know, the parents dealing with their own fear, their own concern, their own frustration. And so like this one mom of a 39-year-old young man now who's kind of living back at home, trying to get back on track after suffering with some addiction issues. Now they're at a place where he's kind of handling it and he's following through and he's helping out around the house. And she's realizing she can stop checking in all the time. Because all of them, what they said today is when we stop pushing, they actually come forward. They actually offer. When we stop demanding, they offer because now they feel trusting that these parents are going to allow them to have their own agenda. And ultimately, that's what any human being wants is to feel some sense of agency in our lives and to feel like the people we love
mm-hmm.
want more for us than they want from us.
It seems to me that rebuilding trust with a kid depends on the kid and some of the circumstances. Sometimes it could come quicker, other times it could take a while. That's my ignorant statement. Is that something to that?
I don't think it's ignorant. I mean, I think it's true that we were just talking about that today too. It's like we've got to embrace their pace.
Mm-hmm.
And developmentally, these kids are 30% behind their same age peers in some parts of their development, in executive function in particular. But the part of the executive function we don't really give enough credibility to, I think, is the energy that it takes to emotionally manage ourselves. Right? So that's actually two areas of executive function, energy management and emotional management. And for a lot of these young people, it takes a lot to kind of keep our head on our shoulders and stay calm and navigate and do what's asked of us. And so their pace is a little slower because they're having to stop a lot and kind of re-regulate and slow themselves down and handle things so they can get back up. Right?
So I want to, if I may, what you said, I kind of get, but sometimes people say words and you hear the words But I'd like to kind of share the context a little bit, because what you said was it takes a lot of energy, right, mm-hmm. to manage your emotions. So mm-hmm. when I'm working with clients, I begin to talk, I define an emotion as a reflexive reaction. When I ask people what's an emotion, they would say it's a feeling. Well, a feeling is the physical manifestation of an emotion, but an emotion is a reflexive reaction. A reflex mm-hmm. is an automated response. If you trip, right, your arms automatically reach out to brace yourself before a fall. And I began to tell them that emotional regulation is difficult, and I always take it to first responders. Marines, firefighters, they go through special training, because in peril, it's like, okay, don't panic. To get to that state where you don't take panic requires an enormous amount of energy and training to be able mm-hmm. to gain that stuff in. And I'm saying, you imagine people are going into the military, like, you know, the Marines are storming the beaches, like, right? All the energy that they took to be able to override that. And that's a context, because I don't think people realize it. And when you're a parent, and you're having to override your emotions to deal with this complex kid, and you feel that frustration, I mean, I think everybody can sit in that moment and realize that's how difficult that is, and this is how difficult it is for these people. Does that make
sense?
Well,
and that the word override is so key here, because emotion is the reflexive response.
Yep.
And so we have to, as quickly as possible, like I often say, you're not responsible for your first thought. You're responsible for your next thought, right? So uh-huh. we have to recognize when we are reflexively getting anxious, upset, reactive, angry, whatever, and then redirect it as quickly as possible. You're not actually going to stop, at least initially, that autonomic response, but you can redirect mm-hmm. it more and more quickly once you understand it and learn to manage it. But it takes a lot of energy and effort to do so. It's not a and you know, emotion, yep. people need to get those emotions out. And when we hold them in, they just fester, right? And
mm-hmm.
for adults, they become disease. For kids, they become failing to thrive, you know,
yep.
whatever. My husband and I were laughing the other day about we used to give my son a baseball bat to break down the recycling, because we knew he needed to get it out. You know, he needed, and we wanted a safe, constructive way for him
yep.
to get some of those yah-yahs out and the energy out
yep.
and the anger out, so that he could be calm enough to
yep.
then get to his homework or whatever needed to be done.
Got it. Tell you what, let's go to break again, because it's a good stopping point. Everybody, our secret word tonight is trust. Go check out Elaine and Impact Parents by going to impactparents.com/attention. Also, a shout out to Time Timer, who's been a longtime supporter of Attention Talk Radio. They've got some tools to help you with clock math, cognitive shortcuts to help you manage time. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Change your life by learning more about managing ADHD. Other places give you a few tips. The ADD Coach Academy will change your life. To find out more, go to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Could hiring an attention coach really help you move forward? Does a child get wet when they dive into a swimming pool? You can get started moving forward today. Just call Dig Coaching Practice at 813-837-8084 and schedule a free consultation. Tell us you heard about us on Attention Talk Radio and get 50% off your discovery session. For more information, visit digcoaching.com. Don't delay, do it today. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Lane Taylor-Kloss having a conversation about falling out of trust. I want to tease something up here a little bit and then have you kind of comment on it. A lot of times I think parents are looking for the words or the answers or what to do, like the instructions. And I've learned over the years that sometimes it's really all about your mindset. Your mindset is how you how it's set up to think. And to help understand what I mean, I was coaching a woman one time who was a quadra understudy. What that means is she could play four different parts in the same play. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, that's rare. She said, yeah, not a lot of people can do it. I said, well, how the hell do you do it? And she said, I don't remember their lines. It's like when I go on stage and I'm Beelzebub, I become that person. I think like Beelzebub. And if I'm going on and I'm going to be Darlene, I step into that. And when you step into that, the words kind of come. And I'm guessing, and I don't know if this is true or not, is that we're talking about falling out of trust, and we're talking about the trust between, you know, either you or your partner or you or your kid and stuff like that. And to really be able to manage this has almost got to be, I trust this individual. You have to step into that trust. I trust that they will, in their heart, they're going to do the right thing while they might not turn their homework in time. Or I trust they're going to do the right thing while they might forget about me on my birthday. Is that accurate way of addressing this, or are there other clever ways of kind of addressing this?
I trust that it's going to be okay, even though okay. we're going through a rough time right now.
Okay.
Or I trust that this – so there is a trust of the individual, and then there is the trust of the larger process. And what I find is that when we don't trust the individual, we make it harder for them to trust themselves and to see where they are in whatever process they're managing. So if we don't see it's possible for them, sometimes they have a hard time seeing that it's possible for themselves. And if you don't see that it's possible, it's going to make it even that much harder to pursue it or even try. I mean, that's why kids and adults too will kind of get to that place of, I'm not even going to bother because I can't believe that I can possibly be successful. So I'm not sure that's where you were starting, but as I think about it, what's so important about trust is that we have to learn to trust ourselves. And I think a lot of us have imposter syndrome and challenges with it and ego issues. Like, that's what it is to be human. So that's kind of normal. But when the people around us also question us, that reinforces that. But when the people around us see our possibility, even when we struggle to see it for ourselves, that's where hope comes from. And that's what allows us to kind of get up and try again and do it again and go for it. And it doesn't matter if we're talking about kids or partners or friends or whatever. Having people who believe in you and trust that you have the capacity to be successful, even if you're not being successful in this moment, that's huge.
Yeah. So I'm, and this is a Jeffism. Everybody, a Jeffism is like a thought that I have that's not necessarily fact or whatever. It's just like things I've kind of put together, but I've always been admiring people of faith. And there's people that say they have faith in whatever it is, like spiritual or whatever. I don't really want to get into deep, but have faith. And there's people that person has faith. And one particular individual one time I was having a conversation about, you know, like faith. And they basically said, you have to surrender yourself. And when we say surrender yourself, and it's amazing to me because of the people that I've ever met that I really think that they actually have faith, they've surrendered themselves. And there's an amazing level of peace about that person. That's always been in awe of me. And I'm not sure I've ever really gotten to that side. I've gotten close maybe a couple times. And it's kind of scary to sit there and I have to surrender myself to this. But the reason I'm bringing this up, because I think a lot of times parents, I get a lot of people like, I need to get them to do this and get them to do that. And the word get is a very controlling word.
Exactly.
And to move from, I got to get them to do this, to surrender yourself to that it's going to get done, is quite an emotional leap of faith. But it's powerful if you can get there.
The word we were talking about in my group today was allow. Was allowing it to unfold, trusting enough in the possibility of success to allow it to unfold. And because, you know, when a parent says, I can't get my kid to, or my spouse says, I can't get my husband to, as you say, that's all about control. That's about my agenda, not theirs. But the key to really seeing success and helping someone else grow into their strength and capacity and all of that is not to try to get them to do anything, but to create an environment that encourages them and believes in them and helps them believe in themselves so that they want to do whatever it is that they want to do for themselves. And part of that is, this is what we were talking about today, is you know, allowing, trusting that the universe is gonna, it's got your back, trusting that it's going to be okay. And in ADD realm, sometimes it's really easy not to be afraid. You know, like I was dealing with an income tax issue with my young adults recently, you know, and it's very hard not to get freaked out about, oh, my God, did you pay your taxes? Did you not pay? Yep. Like, I can go there, or I could go, okay, calm down. In the financial world, people make mistakes all the time and then they fix them. That's what happens in the financial world. So let's just talk about what happened and figure it out, because I'm confident we can figure this out. And it turns out they didn't make any mistakes. But it was easy to go there. If I didn't trust them and they didn't trust themselves, it would have been really easy to go down a freak out.
Yep, absolutely.
And instead, we just kind of got practical because we trusted each other to support each other to figure it out. And that you got to work towards. If it's not there, the most important thing I think you can do is build the relationship and reestablish trust. Because if we can fall out of trust with each other, we can also grow into trust with each other. And it takes a little time.
It does. And I want to bring something that I articulated a couple of years ago. Every once in a while, Elaine, I say something, I'm like, oh, my God, that was actually pretty good. This is one I'm going to share. Yeah. And it is a context, because I think a lot of times when people are out there, they don't realize, because there's a lot of people, if you're listening to this, you're studying about ADHD, you're gathering all kinds of information, you're learning about it. And Elaine, you've heard me say this before, but, you know, I read a bunch of books on how to play the guitar. I picked the damn thing up and I couldn't play it.
Right.
So I'm saying this because there's the acquisition of knowledge and then there's the execution of knowledge. And they're two completely different things. The only way for me to learn how to play the guitar was to put my fingers on the string and screw it up and get it right and screw it up. I did it for a while, and then it got accelerated when I finally got somebody that could help and give me some feedback and some guidance. And I'm saying that is because if you're in a relationship or you're a parent or kid or something like that, some of this stuff is counterintuitive. Your reflexive reaction is to do one thing, like look at my kid and say, they're not reliable, I don't trust them. And what we're kind of saying is you got to override that, which, number one, intuitively, you probably don't think about, which is a show, but the other side is, how do you actually do that in every day? You can try hard, but sometimes it's helpful just to get a tutor so that they can say, look, move your finger this way. I think you'll get it right this time. So, I mean, does that make sense to you? I mean, again, a lot of people study this stuff and they have a hard time. Sometimes you need help with somebody helping you learn how to execute it. Make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And I would say in this case, the execution is probably better communication. Right. Mm-hmm. To build trust, it's, you know, when we talk about it, it impacts, like, the foundation is relationship, and then trust builds on relationship and communication builds on trust. But communication and trust are kind of, they dance back and forth with each other. It's very hard to build a strong, trusting relationship without good communication, and vice versa. Right? Mm-hmm. They kind of go hand in hand. Part of what's essential, I think, as you're saying, is having someone guide you either through learning how to tweak your language in little bits to have better outcome in terms of communication, people to create a space for you to kind of do the work to figure out what your role is in the dynamic, whether you're doing the work by yourself or doing the work with a counselor or a coach in a couples or, you know, family relationship. There are a lot of different ways that you can show up. But, you know, I work with parents in a group whose kids are nowhere near us, but they're doing the work to improve their communication and build the trust of their kids. The other thing I want to say is that part of building trust is allowing people to change. Like, the one thing, and I may have said this to you in a previous interview, the one thing that families are most guilty of, and this goes all the way back to all of our families of origin, for those of us who are adults, is families are really guilty of holding us to who we were and not allowing us to grow into who we are and who we're becoming. Families, we are the worst.
Well, you said
friends are good at letting you change. Yeah. Families, not so much.
One of my favorite things that you said is don't be a historian. Don't go back in your kid's life and say da 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 da. Because it's just like, you know, you get it. So
you behaved like this when you were 7 or 12 or 15,
yep.
and now you're 27. And so, like, if we hold you to who you once were, we're not allowing you
yep.
to change into who you are now. And the most important thing to build trust is to allow people
yep.
the space to change, to kind of
yep.
see that shift.
So I need to wrap this up, but I have one more thing that I want to do. If you're dealing with somebody with ADHD, because we're talking about communication and we're talking about trust, we're talking about ADHD is an executive functioning impairment. It's an impairment, right? And one of the things that I had somebody articulate a call, they say, I often make a connection. The problem is coming up with the words to get their ideas across. This is where the impairment is. They have this thing that they want to communicate, but they're not always able to find the right words or words in a way that makes some sense. And when you're dealing with communication, there needs to be a little bit of an understanding that actually articulating the idea is one thing, but also articulating an idea that you're going to get is sometimes very difficult for them. So you have to trust they're doing the best they can. Make sense?
Ooh, yeah. Well, and here's what came up as I heard you saying that. It's like, you know, I think one of my biggest frustrations with my own ADD is the times where I feel like I can't trust my own brain.
Mm.
Like I know I've heard that. I why can't I remember it? Why can't I remember where I put it? Why can't whatever? And so, you know, part of trusting myself when you've got a brain with memory challenges or executive
mm-hmm.
function challenges, that, you know, follow through or sequencing or whatever, time management, all procrastination, all these things, is that we equate effectiveness with trust, and then I can't trust myself, and that does a number on your
yep.
psyche, you know.
Yep. Yes, it does.
So I don't know what the takeaway from that, I guess, is to be generous with ourselves and
yep.
to understand that it's not a moral failing, and
yep.
that it is how we're wired, and there are, you know, when we understand it, we can do something about it.
And so the part I got with you is there's a certain level you got to take the pressure off of yourself. You are who you are.
Yeah.
You do what you do. You have to have trust in yourself that you're doing the best thing. You're doing the best job with what you have at that particular moment in time. In the future, it might have been good. It might have been bad. But the idea is in that moment, you did the best you could with what you had. And at some level, you got to be able to kind of like know that you did everything you could in that moment. And if you can do that and move forward, it's sometimes helpful just to kind of let the outcomes go. Sometimes they're
mm-hmm.
good, they're sometimes bad. So with that, Elaine,
yeah.
thank you so much for coming on the show.
Truly a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Everybody, check out Elaine at impactparents.com/attention. Remember, our secret word tonight is trust. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.